It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
And guess who we got in here tonight? What's your name?
Daniel.
Well, this is my little boy, Daniel Dye. So this is his first trip for our radio program. And he's going to sit in and kind of be with us for a little while tonight. Well, we want to welcome you, as always, encourage you to call in 239-0033, 800-927-0033. We're going to talk here in just a little bit. We're going to give Morgan Shepherd a call. You know, we've done an awful lot of cool interviews on this program, and I guess we've had some celebrities whose stars might be brighter than others. But certainly I don't think, at least to me, that we've had anybody that's going to be that's got a better story than Morgan Shepherd. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in about 5 minutes and give Morgan a call and spend some time with him. We've got some things to talk about relative to the opening at the Volusia Speedway Park this weekend. Somewhat controversial.
And that's simply due to the scheduling.
Right.
And I can see Tanya's point. I asked her today, I said, Tanya, why in the world are we racing on the last official night of Bike Week? She said, because I'm a brat. I mean, she said that. I said, okay, well, I can agree with that. I said, however, you know, it's going to be difficult. I've got a motorcycle. We just love spending time over here. She said, Joe, I expect to have a couple thousand bikers in the stands. So that's her thought.
Well, I'm just curious with all the bike-related activities. But we wish, you know, first off, you know, we're pretty frank and candid and honest people around here. So I'm not so sure I agree that she's going to have a couple thousand bikers in the stands. Unless she's got some biker activity plan.
It's hard to say, man.
Are you having the World Coleslaw Finals out there?
Hey,
Saturday
but
night?
Really, on a serious note, the AMA motorcycles, they're going to be racing there tomorrow. The gates open at 7:30, and they begin their qualifying at 11 o'clock, Daniel. And then on Wednesday, they're also racing out of Volusia. So two days of amateur AMA-sanctioned racing. So that tradition does continue out there.
Well, there's 1,000 bikes.
Yeah, that's well,
about 4 days early.
That's right. It's well, there should be you know, who knows? You know, one of the things I say this all the time. We advertise obviously to the general public to come in and buy a car from Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, and other dealers do the same thing.
And come to Volusia and enjoy
that's
racing.
Right. If you know, I always say about 50% of the advertising that we do works. Okay, and I think that's pretty true for Tanya. The problem is I just don't know which 50% it is.
I hear you.
Because if I did, I'd cut out the other 50%, you know. But
yeah, well, listen, Randy, if it's any indication, I mean, Mike Peters and Angie Clifton over at Ocala Motor Speedway hosted the opener of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, and they had some 3,000 people there. So hopefully their season opener will transfer to Volusia, and we certainly look for big things, at least in the grandstands.
Well, I think... I don't blame her. I think part of probably what's driving this deal for you guys out there at Volusia Speedway Park, you had a very successful Winter Nationals.
Definitely.
Okay, so there's some momentum.
Definitely.
And probably some enthusiasm.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes enthusiasm and practicality don't always go together.
I hear you.
So,
hear you.
You know, what the heck?
She marches to the beat of her own drum, and like you said, I mean, which percentage, you know, are we talking about? Nonetheless, there's been some great promotions. I mean, nobody would disagree with that. So she's very progressive in her scheduling, and we're excited. I mean, I'll just have to kind of lay off the Kawasaki for one night. And I'm fine with that. I've been over here a couple of times already. You do it a couple of times, and what else are you going to do, you know?
You know, I want to give Tanya and you guys out there a plug. It's difficult, as talking about advertising, it's difficult to figure out where we should be in today's market. But one thing I know for sure is that you get more than what you spend at Volusia Speedway Park. So as an advertiser and a sponsor, I got to tell you, if you are thinking about having a limited budget, there's a good audience out there, and they take good care of you, so I would suggest to you to try. I think, Mark, have you got Morgan on the line already? Okay, well, we're going to talk to him right out of the chute because he's traveling back from Las Vegas. Morgan Shepherd, Randy Dye, really, really glad you're with us tonight. You there? Hey, there we are.
Yeah, I'm here. We've been on 40, coming across country, and just got into Memphis and got snow all over the place. So we stopped here to fuel up and talk with you guys.
All right.
Well, Morgan, we've got three of our regulars in the studio, Billy and Joe. And then, of course, tonight, this for the first time, I've got my little five-year-old son with me and my wife. So we're kind of making it a family affair. We do this every Monday night. But one of the things that I want to, I personally, we've had lots of different folks on our program. And I guess it just depends on the person who's doing the evaluating, whose star is brighter. But I don't know that in the 12 years plus that I've been doing this show that I'm any more excited about having anybody on this show as I am Morgan Shepherd. And you taking the time to be on with us because I know that you've been spending. This is an example. I think you told me today you left Las Vegas at Saturday night from after the Nationwide race.
Yes. That's right. And, you know, I was listening to Eli Gold here a while back, and he was talking with Jimmy Johnson, I believe, he said, Jimmy, do you ever think when you're having to come back from California from one of the races and you're taking that red-eye flight and you're having to fly all night long, if it's really worth it? And I thought, hey, Eli, you don't really know what it's about. I mean, these guys back when we first started racing took pickup trucks and trailers and hauled their cars all over the country. And I've been in the sport 42 years, and I've still got such a passion for the sport that I still do it the same way. We left Daytona, drove to California, and then drove to Vegas, and now we're driving back home. If there's not any passion there, I don't know what passion is, but these guys that jump on the plane and gets to do all the easy stuff and don't have to work on the cars, they haven't lived in the real world of racing. They've missed a lot of fun.
Well, you know something, I'm listening to you, and we've made this point, I guess probably for the last, I don't know, between 2 and 3 years, we've talked an awful lot here on our program about what money has done to the sport, and I think you'd have to say that in some ways money has, probably there are some things that money has done well for the sport. It's been good for the sport. But in a lot of other ways, it's been a real deterrent to the sport. And when you look at Morgan Shepherd, this is a success story that, in my opinion, rivals any success story that's out there. You know, the Jimmy Johnson, and no offense, I mean, goodness gracious, what a great talent, driving
right.
some of the best
right.
stuff. You know, a three-time consecutive three-time NASCAR champion, never been done since Cale Yarborough, all that sort of stuff. But his world is far different than your world and the guys back in the day, if you will, even the Richard Petty's of the world. You know, you're driving, and I saw your motorhome, and I don't – please forgive me. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with your motorhome.
Modest.
But modest, right? It's not the million-dollar Prevost that these guys are. These guys have in the race car campground, if you will. I mean, this is something that you live within your means.
Well, and it's just how bad do you want to be here? And obviously, people get burnt out after a certain while. But I've been here 42 years, and I still love the sport and the people in the sport. Just as much as ever, and of course I'm taking advantage of the sport because I have a mission, and that's to serve my Lord and Savior, and there's such a great opportunity here with NASCAR to be in this sport because we reach the people worldwide with what we're doing, and I think I told you today that my fan mail and email has come from Russia, Germany, Australia, all over the world, and just telling me that they appreciate my stand in racing.
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that. We're going to talk about your mission. But you say you've been in the sport, and I've verified all that. I believe you. But 42 years of continual competition, it's longer than any race car driver before or current. I think your career is longer than Richard Petty's career. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I'm the only guy that has consistently drove in this sport for 42 years. I started in 1967 at Hickory Speedway when Ned Jarrett was promoting the speedway, and it was dirt. My actual first couple races, and then he shut the track down and repaved the track. So I've seen a lot of the greats, the Harry Gantz and the Tommy Houstons and Jack Ingrams and the Bosco Lowes
I know all those names. I guess that tells me how old I am too.
I've had the pleasure of racing with all these people, and even David Pearson. He drove my car one time. I had two cars at Bristol, and that was a very interesting story. And Dave could have probably won the race, but he came in the pits and to make a pit stop, and when he went out, he went too fast or something, and Hoot Alton, which was a good friend of ours, had just passed away. Anyhow, when he went by, he was a stop man, and Dave drove on by, and so Hoot hit the windshield with the paddle stick, and Dave stopped and got out and went back and asked him why. He didn't understand why, and so I think Dave said something to him, and Hoot said, "Well, that's going to be a $500 fine." And David said, "Well, if this is $500, I'm going to get me $500 worth." And he started swinging, and Hoot started running. So, man, I know a lot of stories in racing. So, I got to be around some of those guys like Kale and all of them, and I didn't get to race with those guys a lot because I was in what was called a sportsman, which is like the Nationwide now. But, and now I've got to see, the Tony Stewarts, Kevin Harvicks, the Jimmy Johnsons, and the Bush boys, and I've got to see this sport change so much. And like you were saying about the money situation, it happens to everything. Sometimes it takes all the fun out of it because, like now we're going through hard times, as far as getting sponsors, and teams are having a struggle, and they're having to come, a lot of them's having to come back down to earth. And that's, I was telling a friend of mine, Johnny Davis, the other day. I said, the real people that's going to survive this sport is the ones that have had to do it all and had to do it with a little bit. And I said, we'll be here. We'll be standing when a lot of these top big teams are gone, because you can't, once they've built this thing, it's hard for them to come down, and it's hard to ask the man to take half the money or less than what he was getting paid. It's just tough.
Well, 42 years, and you talk about running what was once upon a time the Sportsman or Grand National Series, but I do think it's important to point out you have four Nextel Cup wins to your credit. Seven NASCAR poles, seven Busch Grand National wins, and five Busch Grand National poles. That's not something to. That's not a trivial career statistic. I mean, those are some pretty decent numbers, as far as I'm concerned, anyway.
Well, you missed one thing, and I don't know. I don't know why NASCAR doesn't recognize me as a champion. In 1980, I won the late model championship, and see, our sport has gone through different name changes. At that time, it was late model sportsman, and the cup deal was Grand National.
Yep.
Then they changed names. I won the championship in 80, and they went to the Busch Grand National, and for whatever reason, I haven't ever been recognized as a champion, but I won the championship that year. I think I won 9 races, finished second 22 times, and won the championship. But I've never understood why, you know, when they give championship provisionals and stuff, why I haven't been recognized.
Well, you know, that's interesting, and yeah, you get that debate and battle all the time about the modern records and the other records and that sort of thing. And now you're right. And you know what? I was 20 years old, but oddly enough, I remember that, and I apologize for not remembering it as I was reading down some of these statistics. You know, that's that in and of itself is impressive. I remember you were winning with the you know, the 21 and the Citgo car and the Wood Brothers, and you know, that was a. So I think what I'm trying to do, I'm building this to a point that Morgan Shepherd's career in NASCAR is impressive all by itself. All by itself, you know, statistically, your career is one that I think stands up there with a lot of the guys. Not to mention the fact that you're 67 years old, if I looked at your biography correctly,
yes,
and
sir,
still running, and I saw you during during Speed Weeks here in Daytona. You look great. You obviously got to be in good shape to jump in a motorhome, drive it across country, and still be driving it back. You finished 13th this past Saturday. Am I correct at Vegas? Is that the right number?
Yes, yes.
And I'm currently 19th in the points.
Well, and that's in the driver's points. I'm actually 21st in the owner's points, but and all that. I'm not even going to let you ask the question, but all that is because I got some help this year. Last year and the years before, I had to do whatever it took to survive, and we couldn't spend no more money than what we was going to take in. And so whenever I'd come in and say the car wasn't handling, it wasn't handling because my Goodyear tires was wore out. And we've been very blessed with some good friends, and really, I don't even really understand why they're doing it. But this all started about 2 years ago. Whenever I had one car, and I was up at Kentucky, and I got bumped in the rear and backed in the wall, and I was overheard over the radio. I told the guys, I said, "Well, that was uncalled for," and I said, "I reckon this puts us out of business." Well, Kevin Harvick heard that conversation, and on Monday morning, one of the guys, Stacy, that worked down there, called me and said, Morgan said it. Kevin said if there's anything he could help you with, that they would they'd like to help me, any kind of parts or whatever. So that was the kind of the start of what's happening now. And then last year, Kevin surprised me and built me a car. He took one of his older cars and put a Dodge body on it for me. Of course, he runs Chevrolet. But he did this outside his shop, and him and Delana, I just can't believe what they've done. And so him and Tony, I reckon, kind of got together, and they laid out a plan for this year. And they told me if I would come back over to Chevrolet that they could help me more. And they surprised me again. Kevin told me to bring the car down he'd put a new body on it, redo the car, make it like new, and make a Chevrolet out of it. And so next thing I know, Tony says he's going to help me with engines and tires. And man, I can't believe these guys. Kevin is from the West Coast. Tony's from Indiana. And why they would help Morgan Shepherd other than our mission here in racing, and that's to serve the Lord and try to influence people to better their lives. But I can't believe those guys. You know, they play bad boy images at the track, but they got such big hearts because I'm not the only one that they've helped or whatever. I mean,
but Morgan, why do they keep this a secret? This is great stuff, and I just can't believe it's not more widely known of their involvement and what they've done to kind of to help your program.
Well, and it's not only me. I mean,
right,
man, they've helped Sam Ard. They've, you know, Red Farmer.
Yeah.
I mean, you just wouldn't believe Tony Stewart and Kevin, the things that they've done to help people. And I mean, I've sometimes I go down the road and I almost break down and cry.
Morgan, that's wonderful. That is amazing.
Morgan, I have been, you know, I've been around the sport a long time. I've been friends with the Petties since I was barely old enough to drive. And there's an awful lot of good people in the sport. And I've been doing this program for many, many years now. We're getting ready to start our 13th year this summer. But one of the things that I have said repeatedly is that I think it could be true of a lot of guys, but with Tony Stewart, Kevin Harvick is another one we've commented about. There's two people in these guys, because I know how involved Tony Stewart is with Kyle in the Victory Junction gang camps. Massive sums of money, but not just money, time. I mean, he actually participates. So I've always said there's this Tony Stewart that is really a wonderful guy, has a great heart, but there's this other Tony Stewart that when he gets out of a race car, at least in the first 30 minutes of getting out of that race car, you're not real sure who that guy is, because he's definitely different than the other guy.
Yeah, let me say this. You show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser.
Amen.
And Tony Stewart is not a good loser, and that's why he's a winner. But I'm just amazed at all these guys. Kyle Busch, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, what he did for Sam Ard, and I mean, you know, you think he's the worst person in the world sometimes, the way he does things, other than, you know, he wants to win.
Immature, he's immature. Yeah. But he's coming around.
But he's got a big heart, and I would have never suspected that of him. And of course, there's tons of people that's helped me. The Jarretts. I mean, these people, Dale Jarrett, Ned Jarrett, they're just unreal. They've helped me so much and helped our charity that we have. And I'm just overwhelmed sometimes at what these guys do.
Well, I want to talk about the real mission. Well, first off, am I right? You got 3 full-time employees on your team, your staff.
Yeah. We got 3 full-time employees, and like I said, these guys have made it possible that we can go and race now. Now our next step is to make enough money where we can hire some more employees and. You know, get our pit stops better, where we can be even more competitive. Because we've already seen what we could do with the help that we've gotten so far. Now we just got to build on it. And I told one of my friends the other day. I said, you know what I am? I'm job security for these other guys, because I'm 67 years old, and that just shows if you have the passion and the drive to do anything in life, and I live by Philippians 4:13. All things are possible through Christ, and which strengthens me. And he definitely does that, because there's no way that Morgan Shepherd could do all the stuff he's doing and to be in the sport and be competitive at this time in my life if it wasn't for Christ.
Well, let's talk about that, and because your card says Racing with Jesus, and I've looked at your race car, and I guess there might be something else on there, but if there is, I can't identify it, I can't remember it. I can certainly remember and easily see Racing with Jesus, and it's, you're one of those few people in this world who's really doing what they... what they profess.
What we're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, you're out there.
He's carrying the cross, really.
Yeah, you're
exactly what he's doing.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're out there racing, but the racing is secondary or lower to what the main reason why you're doing this is. And tell us, what's the main reason why at 67 years old you're driving a race car?
Well, this year on our charity trip, this is our 22nd year that we went up in the Virginia mountains, and we help handicapped people, and we have gospel groups and ministers that goes along with us. And, I think we did 1,100 bags of gifts up there. But our main reason is to, win people to Jesus Christ. And, when the guy comes up behind my car, on the back of my car, it says Racing for Souls. And that's what we're really about, to help influence people to better their lives. Because I know what Morgan Shepherd was before February the 23rd, 1975. I didn't care about nobody but myself. I drank and partied, and my heart definitely wasn't in the right place. I wasn't a good family man, but I accepted Christ then, and that was the start of my life. It's been incredible trip, and I don't know how long the Lord's going to allow me to do it, but as long as I'm here, I want to stay faithful. When I have people that I had this guy to email us and write us a letter, and all from Africa that said it. He seen me on Trinity Broadcasting, and he prayed. When I prayed, he prayed to receive Christ. He was an alcoholic, and when we can reach people in our sport all over the world like that, I know that I've done something. And I'd like to add one thing. When I leave this earth, I want to be like Miss Joanne Bushman. I was at Phoenix back in, I think, 97, and I went up in the grandstands and always take some of my tracks. And anyhow, I signed a few of them. And so after the race, I was getting ready to leave, and here come this lady running. And she said, "Wait a minute, Morgan, wait a minute." Says, "I got something for you." And she handed me a $500 check for our charity. And so a couple years later, she was 42 years old, and she passed away with cancer. But before she died, she said, "Please don't send flyers. Send money to the Morgan Shepherd charity." And to this very day, every year, her husband will send maybe $350 or $750 at least a couple times a year. So she's left this earth, and she's still helping people.
That's amazing.
And that's what I want my life to be about.
Well, Morgan, that is certainly what it is about now, and that's certainly how you'll be remembered and how people certainly see you now. But talk about the ministry itself. Certainly it's so important to be at the racetrack. This is where you need to reach the people that perhaps don't know Jesus Christ. Talk about what you do traveling to the racetrack and then, of course, at the racetrack to support the ministry. I mean, certainly it's more than just having the car out on the track with a camera on it. You guys are you're reaching out in the pit area and the grandstands and everywhere.
Well, we try to be an influence wherever we go. And I know at Homestead last year, I missed the race. I'd missed three races straight. And after the race, Carl Edwards, he was coming out carrying his trophy after he won the nationwide race. And I stopped and talked to him a little bit about life in general. And I said, "Carl, don't take us for granted." I said, "Because these things come and go." And so anyhow, he went on, and we was getting ready to leave, and I had to walk over and ask him to move the car. And when I walked over, I happened to think I need to get a couple brochures. So I took him a brochure, and I told Carl, I said, "I don't know how much you know about our charity, but if you give a dollar, it's going to help somebody." And anyhow, we talked a little bit, and he said, "Well, tell me what it's all about." And so I told him how it got started and how I started with one guy up in the Virginia Mountains. And then now we probably see a couple thousand, but our main deal was there at the Park Workshop in Stuart, Virginia, where we help handicapped people. And so after I went through these things and told him, he said, "Well, Morgan, what about, I'll just give you $10,000 for it."
Wow.
I said, "What?" I said, "Carl, you've got to be kidding." He said, "No, I'll do $10,000." So I grabbed him, shook his hand, and hugged him, and that was a $15,000 hug, because the next words out of his mouth, he says, "I'm going to come off of that." He says, "I'm going to do
$25,000. Oh, my.
And Carl told me, he said, "Morgan, you're a real inspiration to us." And just these guys that we try to impress on. But I do other things. We go to the concerts, like at Talladega, outside the track, and where, you know, people's party and everything. And I go up and I don't rub nothing in, but I might put my roller skates on and skate, because they'll have a band or whatever, and dance to music. And then I'll start witness to them a little bit. And I've had people to come up and with beers in their hand, they'll say, Morgan, I really appreciate what you had to say. And I don't put them down. I just tell them the way I was. And I do other things like I speak at a prison. I've been doing it for three or four years here at Phoenix. And I go to churches and speak in different places and go to schools. So people will listen to me a lot of times because they're race fanatics when they wouldn't listen to a regular preacher that walked in. So I've learned that the places I go, I don't dress in regular clothes. I usually put my racing uniform on because it's got the Jesus logo. And because that's how people identify me, is the way they see me on TV. And so I'm able to get through to people by using that platform. And it went well this past year this was at Galax, where it was at the Rex Theater. We had 27 people to accept Christ there.
Wow.
Like I said, it's a great opportunity in NASCAR, and so this has been my mission field.
Well, Morgan, I can understand now. I get why I was excited, and I think everybody in this room, I don't know that I've seen this kind of attitude come across everybody at the same time. You've been an inspiration to us tonight, and I'm certain, I don't know that we'll ever hear the results from people that have listened to the program tonight, but I gotta believe, I don't have any doubt in my mind that you've made a difference to somebody out there while you've been on our program, and it's been an honor and a privilege for us to have you with us, and if you ever got something going on and you want to promote it, you call us and we'll talk about it and help you in any way we can. And I got to tell you, I think it's wonderful that you've spent the time. I can't imagine the blessings that are going to come your way for what you're doing. And I wish Tony Stewart and Kevin Harvick the absolute best of luck this year, so they can bless you even more.
Absolutely.
But that being said, I got to tell you, I'm overwhelmed. I'm just so thankful you spent the time with us. Please be careful. I hope you don't plan on driving on home tonight. Find some place to stay all night. And join us again, will you, please?
Yes, I will. And thank you all for having me on.
Morgan, go get him at Bristol, my man.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that, guys, I guess I think we just need to take a break.
No doubt.
Okay.
For your business, group, or organization, the place to call in the Volusia County area is Mid Florida Sportswear. They've been in business for over 30 years in our community. They deliver quality work at competitive prices. Mid Florida Sportswear is the official screen printer of this radio station and Black Crow Media, as well as Long Doggers, Jack's Stadium Sports Bar, Krabby Joe's, Booth's Bowery, Pub 44, Dirty Harry's, and more. Mid Florida Sportswear does the official Chamber of Commerce Bike Week logoed shirts. Call now for your bike week orders. 258-5632. 258-5632. Mid Florida Sportswear. Call them at 258-5632 or online at midfloridasportswear.com. You can also visit Mid Florida Sportswear at 2415 Bellevue Avenue. Mid Florida Sportswear. 258-5632. 258-5632.
We're here with Jimmy Bottleneck, owner of Bottleneck Bowling Alley. Recently, they've fallen on hard times, and he blames Cupid.com.
Singles used to meet here all the time. Not anymore.
Exactly. What do you think the problem is?
They make it so easy. You set up your account and start meeting new local people in seconds, and it's free to join.
And it all starts with your first visit to Cupid.com.
When it comes to love, I can't compete with Cupid.com, but I think I got better pizza.
Real people, real relationships, real easy.
The laundromat. I used to meet so many people here, just washing my clothes. Not anymore, thanks to Cupid.com. Why? They make it too easy to meet people that live here, in our area. It's simple. Just set up your account and start meeting new people in seconds. And it's free to join. Let's face it, how can dirty t-shirts compete with Cupid? Cupid.com. Real people, real relationships, real easy.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside Tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
And I got a different outlook from Morgan Shepherd.
You should.
And what's your name?
Daniel.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I got to talk. See, we interviewed a race car driver, and you're getting ready to be a race car driver, right?
Yep.
We got to talk right here.
Yep.
Okay, what are you going to drive?
Daddy's late model.
Heck yeah.
What are you going to drive?
A quarter midget.
A quarter midget car.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. How old are you?
5.
Okay, so we're going to start with a quarter midget car.
Yep.
Okay, well, you've been a good boy. You've been patient tonight, but it's time you got to go home and go to bed, right?
Yep.
So you're going to tell everybody goodnight?
Yep.
Tell everybody goodnight.
Goodnight.
Okay, well, who are you going to tell goodnight down there? What's his name? Don't you remember? What's his name? Joe?
Derby.
Joe Dirt?
Joe Dirt.
Hey, what about his name? Billy?
Kid.
Billy the Kid, okay.
All
right.
That's all we wanted.
Okay, goodnight, Daniel.
Goodnight, Daniel. Die.
Love you, buddy.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Definitely. See you, Daniel.
Okay.
Take that.
Good luck with the T-ball,
for a
buddy.
Spin.
We got John on two, and we got Gene on one.
Okay, John on two. Let's go there. Hello there.
Guys. Hey, Billy. Hey, Joe. Hey, Randy.
Hey, what's going on, John?
I'll tell you. God bless Morgan Shepherd and all he stands for and all he's doing. I don't think I've ever gotten choked up listening to a race car driver talk in my life.
Wasn't that amazing, John? I mean, the testimonial and, of course, the ministry that he's involved in. And I'll be honest, I've seen Morgan over the last couple of years. I thought, wow, here's a guy, man, just really trying to make these races. I did not understand the conviction that he had and just how important the fact that he's trying to make these races and making them, how important it was to him.
You're exactly right. I mean, you thought maybe he just got lucky or whatever, but who is to know? I mean, that blows all the good stories away. The Joe Nemechek and other guys putting their teams together in a few days. I mean, that's the story that should be heard, and not being recognized for his championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what?
Kind of an obscure thing.
I think it's probably time that maybe we'll have we'll kind of maybe put together a little silent recognition. I think it's time that be recognized. Certainly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, 1980, that series was well established at that point.
Oh,
there's
sure.
no reason in the world why that championship should be recognized. But I'm going to say this. I'll bet you, just you sat there and listened to the interview, I'm sure that Morgan Shepherd would trade the recognition for that championship for just one person making the commitment to Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that he's
there. You're exactly right.
And so... I don't think Morgan Shepherd needs to take that battle on. We can take the battle on for him with regard to the championship. But let's, you know, I sat here and kind of like Joe. I mean, I've always taken Morgan Shepherd seriously because I've known him for a while. But I guess I just didn't get it as much as he's doing with it. And, you know, his success on the race car or on the racetrack has nothing to do with polls, championships, or wins. It's
not
everything to do
not
with...
Not at all. He's just got so many people behind him, and everybody... I mean, he's got the most important person behind him, that's for
well,
sure.
You know what else that I think is amazing? Is that because of what Morgan Shepherd is doing, it's obvious he's had an impact in Carl Edwards' life. It's obvious
Correct.
He's having an impact in Kevin Harvick's life. It's obvious he's having an impact in Tony Stewart's life. These guys... are doing some of this stuff because of you know, because of who he is and what he's doing. And you know,
that's right.
Sometimes,
total respect. Total respect.
All you've got to do is give people an opportunity to be good, and they will.
That's right. I hate to say it, but now I got kind of like Stewart. Doggone it. Hey, you guys did a great job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, John. Thanks.
I'll be honest with you, man. This somebody should give a ride.
Well, they have. I mean, think about it.
Well,
I hear you.
They got other guys. They got rides that don't even know which way to go down there and turn left.
Yeah, they showed that yesterday, several of them. Nonetheless,
think about it.
I agree with you, but
these guys are looking for a driver. I mean, I know he's 67, but
no, it's so financially generated.
You're talking about somebody that could mold your younger drivers here. Yeah. They're using Bill Elliott and Terry Labonte to help mold these guys. Why not choose a Morgan Shepherd?
Because it's all about
lead him down the wrong path.
No, he's going
to
keep
you. Ain't got to worry about the guy at the Nextel trailer calling you to the trailer if Morgan Shepherd's your coach, because he's not going to be like that.
Right.
You never know what could happen here.
Yeah, you know, I think the problem is a lot of folks, well, they look at this and they go, oh, boy, you know, if we do this, we're going to get some, it's going to be controversial because we're talking about Jesus, and, you know, and it's another crazy Jesus guy. Well, I don't think there was anything crazy about this guy. You just listen to him. You know, what you got is a guy that has an incredible amount of passion, not just for racing, but for people.
Well, what I'm saying here is this guy's story is one that could be all over the United States and all. Because you know how many people sit back and say, oh, man, Morgan Shepherd's going to try it again, and they have no reason
why. They don't
even
understand it, right?
They don't understand why.
Right. Yeah,
I got a whole different outlook for him because I've asked myself a few times, why don't you give it up, Morgan? I know he only had a couple guys working for him full time, but after this deal tonight,
now you know.
I'm rooting for this guy to win a race here.
Yeah,
guys.
Me too.
Oh
yeah.
Man,
even though it might not happen, I'm rooting for it, dude.
Yeah,
I got me a new nationwide racer. I don't care.
Right. Well, I found myself doing that this weekend.
Yeah, man.
I'm rooting for Morgan Shepherd. I mean, literally rooting for Morgan Shepherd, not just watching Morgan Shepherd.
The attrition enabled him to, and plus his driving skill, but to avoid all those wrecks, you had to be a fan watching the way he avoided those and made his way up to 13th.
Well, and the other thing
got up to fourth at one time. He didn't stop. He tried to get the track position. Fourth place at one time.
Well, I think it took him 142 laps before they lapped him. And the simple fact is, and I'm not criticizing the guys on pit road, but you know, he was in the pits for almost 60 seconds.
Yeah,
so it's a little, you know, you talk about a distinct disadvantage.
Randy, you got these nationwide guys using their cup team to pit them on Saturday.
Yep.
You know, you got guys that come in, fly in just for the race. That's no secret. We know that. Morgan's using the same group of guys, and they're dealing with what they have to deal with. And it was pretty miraculous what he's accomplished just these two races already.
You got three guys.
That's it.
If he had a full crew, you wouldn't lose a lap. Imagine where he could probably be. You got, because you got to have one guy changing tires on the front, one guy changing, and the other guy's got to run the jack. There's your three guys.
Yeah,
who's getting the tires for him? I got my tire off. I'm going to go get another one.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
67 years old. He's made all three nationwide races this year and is currently in the driver points 19th, owner points 21st.
He's going to be locked.
He's locked, and that was the account. That's what they wanted to achieve, and that's what they've done so far. And we didn't really talk about that
much.
And
he's not going to go to Atlanta. Did they race Atlanta this week, or no, are they off? The nationwide.
I think they're off.
Okay, so
nationwide goes to Bristol next.
That's why he's not going to Atlanta.
That's right.
It's a phenomenal story, and what we talked about was what he wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hey, we could talk about racing all night long, and he'd be sitting there waiting till it was time to talk about.
With us.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
But the guy's driven across the country, and he's still trying to head home. But hey, we got Gene on the line, and there you go, Gene.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Gene.
Yeah, your next nationwide race is 21st.
I'll be there.
Another month from Bristol.
In Bristol, right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you've always had an appreciation for Morgan Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was listening to him, but I've been fortunate and caught several racing programs over the years, and they'd even tape some of his Christmas parties that he has on roller skates and gives out all kinds of gifts to the elderly and everything else. So I've been away for many years of his work.
Well,
so I think it's great you had him on tonight.
Well, I've been, you know, we oftentimes get all excited about the people that we have and some of the celebrities and so on. But as I was thinking and watching over this weekend, I said, I don't think there's a better story out there
Oh, no.
Than this. And then I talked to Morgan today as he was making his way back from Vegas. And after I talked to him, I went, this is the best story I think we've ever had.
Right.
There's nothing that we've ever done in all the years we've been doing this program that comes close to this.
Right.
If he races Daytona next year, I'm going to go help.
I'd be glad to go help.
You know what? Why not? You guys say that. Let's do that.
No,
I'm serious.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool would that
and,
be?
And
well,
you
know, just so you know, and I don't mean to, what we do for Morgan is trivial. That's fine. What we do for Morgan is trivial, but we've given Morgan Shepherd a car when he comes to Daytona, I don't know how many years in a row. Many cool. years in a row. Just so he has some transportation when he gets here.
Oh, that's cool, man. Oh, definitely can be done.
You got a three-pump jet, right?
I need somebody who can pump it three times to get it in the air. But yeah.
That's Billy.
I'll be Huckleberry.
Okay.
Yep. I'll be the gas man.
I'll be Huckleberry.
But I know, too, that he was talking about Tony Stewart and Kevin Havoc. And again, having watched so much stuff on the different shows that carry anything to do with racing, the generosity in that garage is way more than the normal fan ever. Ever.
Well, you know something.
Really,
it's one thing for people to be generous, and by all means they are. But I think there's a different level of responsibility. The one thing I get out of this is that if you listen to him, he didn't say the words, but if you heard it, it almost sounds like Tony Stewart and Kevin Harvick, and even to some degree Carl Edwards.
Yeah,
like maybe these guys get it a little bit because what they're doing things for Morgan Shepherd, who does things for other people.
Right.
And they're doing things for some of these race car drivers. You know, the story about Sam Artist is awful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a guy that the winningest Busch Grand National driver
right.
of all time.
Yeah.
And sick, out of money, broke.
Yeah.
And there's no pension, there's no nothing, there's no money,
right.
you know. And guys like Kevin Harvick and Tony Stewart and others are trying to look after him. And you know the,
right.
the people like the Jarretts who are just great people that have helped Morgan. I mean, there's...
Yeah.
This is a bigger deal. You know, Morgan's work is a big, big deal.
All right. He's been that way for many, many years.
Well,
too.
By his own numbers since 1975.
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear the beginning of it.
You know what I think? I think if Dale Earnhardt Sr. was still alive, I think he'd have a big role in this too.
I do too.
Remember, he used to help Dave Marcus.
Oh yeah,
he sure did.
Sure did. Yeah,
that's one reason why I like the NASCAR people because I've heard so much and read so much over the years, like Richard Childress's. Behind many, many a driver that people don't know about.
Yeah. You know, Richard
and he's
Childress,
one of the many.
Well, he's one of the guys that, you know, Richard Childress, his career as a driver was less than stellar.
All right.
But his career as an owner has been phenomenal.
Sure. One of the best in the business.
Right. Well, I guess I got to say it, Gene. We're going to switch gears here for just a minute.
Okay.
But have you looked at the newspaper?
A little bit.
Yeah, do you know who's leading the points?
Who's leading the points?
Yeah, Nextel.
Yeah, I know who's leading the points. I
what number is it?
Yesterday.
What number is it?
It's what I'm going to use for target practice.
Okay.
The same one I will use for target practice and anything else.
My new boy, he's second.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, I kid you about Jeff Gordon.
I know you do.
But I will say this. The deal yesterday where he screws up, misses pit road, flat spots the tire, blows the left front tire. Hold on a minute. Blows the left front tire.
I know.
But gets it back, gets it fixed, and what's he finished? Fifth? Yesterday?
Something like that.
That was amazing.
Look at David Ruderman sitting in fifth.
Finished sixth.
Okay, no, we're talking about the points of where he sits, Gene, and he's currently fourth in the points.
Ruderman.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's pretty amazing,
you know,
right there.
The race,
if he can hold on to this
with
some good steady runs, Billy, this could
before
be unbelievable.
Started.
You know who I think had a good run yesterday up to a while that I was hoping for him was Bobby Labonte.
Yeah. Hey, before the race started yesterday, they were bragging about Michael Waltrip being seventh in points. And I'm thinking to myself, guys, calm down. It's the second race here.
Yeah.
Dropped five spots. But Rudiman, listen, dude. Listen.
Biffle is full.
Michael Walsh is Jason 12 now.
Knocking on the door here.
He really is.
Win. Him and David Reagan have probably knocked down a win this year.
Got to agree
that
with
that. David Rudiman is on fire.
Got to agree with that.
Well, I think
I felt bad for Mike Martin yesterday. Poor Brad Keselowski. Like, good Lord.
Well, he spun himself out.
Keselowski did it to himself. Yeah. He did it to himself the day before. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I like Keselowski, but he...
Watch what Junior taught me, guys.
Yeah. And I think the great, you know, see, in NASCAR Nextel Cup Series so far, the biggest surprise is Mark Martin, you know, and not really Mark Martin, but Mark Martin's equipment. For there to be two engine failures in the Hendrick camp in two out of three races is just...
Saturday and Sunday both was either... Tires our engines, so...
I'll tell you who else is going to get him one, Billy, and your favorite guy, Clint Bowyer. He's going to get him one
Clint Bowyer
real quick.
Is my new favorite racer. He is...
Going to happen.
He has leapfrogged that 88 car.
Yep.
Clint Bowyer, he's my new man.
Yeah. Well, at least yesterday was a decent race, yay.
I'm not anti-Clint Bowyer, but I'm not ready to say he's one of my favorites either. What did you think
of the race in general yesterday, guys? It wasn't a sleeper.
I thought they were about to rip off everybody in the grandstands when they had the last caution, but they were able to get three laps done under green.
I think the race was okay. You know, I mean, Vegas was a whole lot better than California.
Anything's better than California. Yeah. But
how about Kyle Busch when he took the lead? He said, "Good night, Gracie."
Yeah. You gotta love him, man. I don't care. Love him.
You know, you certainly can't. We've said this time
first,
and time again.
The first.
Yeah.
Cannot argue with his talent. Gene, we gotta say goodnight because we got Jimmy Jeep holding patiently.
See you, Gene.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Jimmy Jeep.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, I'm surviving.
Well, how much snow you have there, bud?
Yeah.
We don't have a drop.
Really? It missed you, huh?
Yeah, it missed us. We got the cold, but don't have anything else. Yeah.
Okay. That thing shot back out in the Atlantic. It's a nor'easter now, right?
Oh, I was calling my buddy over there, and Dave Blaney's cousin. I was calling him today up there in Charlotte and harassing him.
Oh, yeah.
So they were plugged up there pretty good.
Jimmy, have you been listening to the entire program tonight?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Morgan Shepherd's been one of my favorites for years. You know, guys hang on as long as he has, and the quality driving, and, you know, just trying to make a show anymore, you know, it's quite an effort.
Well, I not only the quality of the driver, but I think the quality of the person is unparalleled.
Well, yeah, you look back at all those people that came out of the old Bush series or sportsmen or whatever we used to call it. There was quite a bunch there that really did a lot. It was so little and for a lot of people. And it's good to see them still out there and still running, you know. It's pretty good. So, anyways, I just want to report in. We had our antique show at Reserve Hills last week.
Oh, nice.
At the Winter Auto Fest, we had 100 antique cars.
Very nice.
We had extensive coverage of photographers in there, and Dave Westerman was over there for the first time. He says he's been in Florida for 50 years and never came over for the show.
Did Dave bring his production company with him, some cameras?
Yeah, we had PostFX.
PostFX, that's it.
They have taped us, and they're on CD, three CDs, plus the fourth one with... his interviews and the banquet, which the banquet's worth the money. If you've seen
Jimmy,
Joe Lance putting it on, it was great.
Were you able to see any of this production post after it was done?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
They were working on it all the time when they were there.
Right. We're going to start using them at Volusia, it sounds like, and we're excited about this. They have, just like a production truck, Randy, that we were involved with at Lakeland, switching cameras. They're able to produce this DVDs that night.
Nice.
Live audio, certainly pretty excited about that.
Yeah, they're very good. I had one of the cameramen riding with me and interviewing me, and then riding, we were doing the midgets and some of the sprints, and he was hanging out the window of the Jeep. I thought he was going to fall out. we had a real great show. We had one little tumble. Vince got knocked down a couple times, but we have a thing now. You knock it down, you fix it.
There you go.
And, it's just back to the old days.
I like that. back to the old days. Hey, you broke it. Better be fixed by next weekend.
Yeah, well, now that was it. You know, if it wasn't totally knocked down, I'd drive up to him and said, you were invited to the first turn or wherever it was they hit it right after we're done with the racing today, and bring a shovel. And it was just
it's called accountability.
The old days, you'd break it, you fix it.
That's right, man.
And we had John Calabrese. He was our speaker. And Jack Calabrese, he was our speaker. He was a former midget driver out of the Midwest and promoter.
Good deal.
And he sent an email wanted to see if he could park someplace with a motorhome, and we kind of ended up being the speaker, so it worked out good at the banquet.
Jimmy, let's talk about the regular local season here in, you know, in Florida. What's going on with this Top Gun deal? Is it off the ground before it even got out of the gate or what? What's going on?
Well, I had a question on that last night. For instance, you know, we were supposed to be up in North Florida Speedway, but I don't see it on their schedule. And I'm not sure myself. I know Tanya was having some problems on some things, but Don Reams wasn't even responding to this other friend of mine.
I don't think it's, you know,
I think the Top Gun series went down to the Days of Thunder.
Well, it could be. You know, it just goes back to promoters not getting along, or... I can't answer all the questions on that, but I'm, you know, definitely.
You gotta have wings to fly.
It would have been a good series.
You gotta have wings to fly.
Yeah, well, I don't think we can, you know, hold Tanya responsible. I mean, she's just as much probably in the dark as anybody else. Nonetheless, it's interesting. We did open them up last in 2008, and now we've heard nothing else. And like you said, North Florida scheduled to have them last Saturday night.
I don't think it's one deal. I think it's all four parties involved. I think it's something that dematerialized before we got.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame. We have quality, a heck of a bunch of limited sprint drivers out there. And
I think you'll still see them. You'll still see the auto scrape shows take over.
Yeah.
People will give them races and stuff like that. I think you'll see that go down. And I think you'll still see the sprint cars the way they were.
Yeah, well, just, you know, it put a hurt on Otto last year. You know, he didn't get as much. You know, one of the tracks canceled and just everything. And it was a bad year, rough year for Otto, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it was. And it was about to get even worse this year.
Yeah, well, you know, I was quite surprised with, you know, the turnout that I had. And then with the... Big Bud, he was like, he wanted to East Bay Saturday night push for the first time. And he said, you know, they got a good bunch of drivers, but, you know, first, you know, eight laps, you know, they wrecked half of them. So, you know, he was just, you know, these guys didn't want to run, but golly, you know, it cost them money. So, but anyways, I'll let you guys go.
All right.
You guys, I had a great speed week for you.
Hey, you worked your butt off too, Jimmy. Thank you so much. It was really great to see you every night, man.
Yeah, we had a professional bunch of drivers there.
No,
you
no.
know, we're diamond in the rough.
Thanks, Jimmy Jeep.
All right, take
see
care,
you,
buddy.
Man.
All Bye.
Right. Hey, Saturday night at Volusia Speedway Park, the season opener, late models, modified sportsmen, street stocks, thunder stocks, and the all-new four-cylinder Challengers, just 15 miles west of Daytona on State Road 40 in Barberville. Grandstands open at 5 racing at 7:30. Be there with the 2,000 bikers in the grandstand.
You know, I want to tell you, I want to let you know, Joe.
And
I don't
get there early to get some parking.
I don't know if we've done this or not, but we're glad to be back a part of the
Excellent.
Volusia Speedway Park.
We're relieved now. I mean, everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. The relationship has just gone so well over the past couple of seasons, and it's almost as if now, well, certainly, what would it be like without Daytona Dodge Chrysler? So welcome back. Thank you, and we look forward to yet another mutually beneficial racing season.
You know, the thing that I admire about what Tanya did last year, you know, Tanya didn't create the problem for us. She inherited the problem, and she
For
was
sure.
incredibly patient and worked with us all the way through last year. One of the things I noticed during Speed Weeks or Winter Nationals.
Dirt Car Nationals, sorry,
I'll get it right.
All-Tail Dirt Car Nationals.
All-Tail.
Presented by the University of Northwestern Ohio.
Thank you. The All-Tail Dirt Car Nationals presented by the University.
UNOH will work.
Yeah, UNOH,
That'll
okay.
Work.
Was the family atmosphere was back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it felt like Volusia Speedway Park when I was there, and that really was just, it was a good feeling. It was good to know it. And, of course, I like seeing Billy, and I know Billy was busy and listening to you, Joe, and But it just felt that family atmosphere was there again, and I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Ocala Speedway hosted the opener for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series on Friday night. It was the Magic Man, Mark Whitener, picking up the win. UDLMCS races win.
March 27th, 28th, Golden Isle Speedway, Brunswick, Georgia, 10,000 to win.
And Ocala back in action this Friday. Watch out for those motorcycles, everybody.
And we'll be back here next Monday night with Trackside Tonight. Good night.
Good night.